WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively on Radio Row. Want to give thanks to all of our sponsors, my friends at Wise Markets for making this possible for us, as well as Dennis and Coons Ford. Oh, my goodness. Royal Farms, they have the Mocha specials going on here. I could have used that. It's been cold as hell in here. It's 88 degrees outside. It's about 18 below here on Radio Row. But that's normal, and it's usually normal that I see these guys from Hunt Auctions. I've done some business with them over the course of time. I've made no bones about me, and I've talked to some other people this week. I had Darren Ravel on at length talking about memorabilia and collectibles and baseball cards. My pal Mark Miller from Blondell Miller Schuler and doing collectibles. And I had all this cool stuff that was literally sitting in a place where I was worried about
gathering
it. Worried about it. Yeah. And I thought it belongs under glass on a wall where somebody can enjoy it. I feel holistic about it in that way, that it should be enjoyed. That McCartney thing shouldn't have been where I had it. It should be where somebody can see it. Same thing with Billy Joel, David Bowie. So I reach out to somebody like you, and there aren't a whole lot of people that do it. David Hunt had said to me, you could do it on your own, but you'll hate it. And he was completely right. And he said to me, you're going to sell things that it's going to blow your mind that you got ripped off because it was too little. And there's other things you're going to be like, I can't believe somebody paid that for that.
That's pretty much
the way it happened.
Yep, happens every time.
Couldn't believe those Beastie Boys autographs. I just couldn't believe that somebody would want that more than they would want that David Bowie beautiful silver. But God bless them. Jeremy Kraft is here from Hunt Auctions. Auctioneers of fine historical baseball memorabilia. A couple years ago, I went into your event at the All-Star Game in D.C., and I wanted those bobbleheads. God, I wanted them. How you doing, brother?
Good. How are you?
Elbows up.
You as well.
All right, kiss my ass about how great my food is, my food tastes are. Go ahead, start with that.
You have recommended two of my now favorite places to eat.
In your hometown.
Yep.
It's tough to make a Philly guy happy.
Oh, man.
You're miserable people, all of you.
I've been to that Italian place 4 times since you recommended it.
The good meatball. Well, you know what? A friend of mine in Phoenix told me about it. And so I literally went there a year ago with you. I have not been back. Really good tiramisu, dude.
Oh, yeah.
That joint tiramisu. And then the Dan place got recommended by my buddy Greg Bruno San Martino Ash. I got that, and I've been there a few times.
Yep.
I was in Philly for Genesis a couple months ago. I tried to get up there. You know, I don't go to Flyers games anymore. I don't watch hockey. I've sort of famously, my team won the cup. I drank from the cup at the party. They fired my buddy. And
you're done.
I dropped the mic.
There you go.
I figured, my journey's complete.
You hit the top.
I was 49 or 50 years old when it happened. I'm like, that's exactly what I wanted the first time I fell in love with Dennis Marook and Mike Gartner and learned to hate the Flyers. Prop, Hextall, all of them, you know?
You have the look on your face like you're
not a Philly sports fan, though, right?
I actually grew up in New York.
Yeah, I remember this.
You know, I'm happy
Metsy,
that I found
Metsy,
some.
Metsy.
There you go, Mets. I'm happy I found good food in Philly, and that's about the only good thing I've found in Philly thus far.
Terrible, man. I don't remember anybody or anything, but I remember what sports team you love.
There you go.
I always remember that. You got some stuff here, and you guys.
Yep.
Tell everybody the elevator speech for what you do, because I could talk about my box of crap that I brought up to you,
sure.
And you wrote me checks, and you know, stuff sold, and how much fun it was to watch the Beastie Boys ticket stub go, and how demoralizing it was when the Billy Joel thing didn't sell for. I'm like, just give it back to me. I'll put it on my friggin' wall.
Literally happens every time we tell people things you think are worth X will sell for half.
Do
of
I look
that.
Mad?
No,
yeah,
not at all.
I'm not mad at all.
But yeah, we're here with the NFL again. It's about our 10th year doing this. We set up with them with a live auction. This year, we've got a great selection of stuff. Portions of it coming right from the NFL, sold to benefit their various charities. Others coming from private collectors. We have a real killer group of stuff from Football Hall of Famer John Hanna. And
I've had him on the show. He's a lovely Southern man.
Yeah. He was real nice. A treat to be around for a couple days, and we had a lot of fun.
He played in the first games I ever saw when I was a boy.
Oh, wow.
I saw the Patriots. Playing 73, 74, 75. Pretty good teams. You know, Fataha, right? Tatupu a little later on after that. Sam, the Bam Cunningham.
Yeah, we've got quite a collection from Hanna. And, in fact, all the stuff is on display as part of the NFL experience. I don't know if any of your listeners happen to be headed this way, but they're certainly welcome to come check it out. If they can't make it there, obviously, huntauctions.com will direct them right to all the material in the auction. But
you guys send me your brochures every month, and they're like little Hall of Fame cats. My wife would tell you I never throw them away. I just go through them and look at them. And I always think maybe I'd want to own that. And I'm like, oh God, I just took him three boxes full of shit. I don't need any more stuff.
Right?
You know,
you turn it around into more piles of stuff.
Things that like that I still have that Super Bowl one media kit.
Sure,
I will. At some point, it'd be worth $100,000, and that's when at that point you can sell it.
There you go.
When I get my beach house with it, but and Stedman gave it to me, so there's some sentimentality to it. But I do want it enjoyed, and I want it preserved. I think it's the only one of its kind. And Hunt's like, we'll find another one. I'm like, well, until you do, I'm not selling mine. And I think it's the first thing that ever had the words Super Bowl on it. And yeah, I think that will...
I remember you showing me that when you were up at the office. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, yep. And I just think, like, it's not my time. That's one thing I'm just going to, like, heirloom and keep.
Hey, we tell people all the time...
I have a Super Bowl ring. I'm keeping that, too. Yep. You're not getting that yet, you know?
We tell people all the time, there's a lot of pieces. There's just not a monetary value that makes it worthwhile to sell. You're not going to be happy with what it brings. So it's always best left on the shelf, hanging on the wall, and enjoyed.
Yeah, I have a Cuba 99 poster that Mike Flanagan's family gave to me after he passed, and that's on my wall, and that'll never leave. That's mine.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, somebody may give me $50 for it or whatever, but I have the weirdest thing. So a fan gave me a Luis Aparicio. Now, my first newspaper job was a News American. Probably that means as much as one of those old Philadelphia papers don't exist anymore, right? And they had the Sunday magazine when Louis came to Baltimore. And it's this incredible picture of him wearing spring training, gray, Oriole, black. And he looks like me in the picture. You know, we look related.
Yeah. Yeah.
We look related, you know. So that, it's not framed yet, but it will be. And whenever I get a really boring... You know, Mike Brady, paneled office, knotty pine, you
sure.
know, and I want to put my diploma on the wall when it's all over with, you
It'll
know.
Look good hanging next to that.
McCartney hung on the wall for a while, you know, so did Rush and all that stuff that I gave you.
You enjoyed it.
It's going to be in a sports bar in, you know, Elmira one day. I'm going to walk in and say.
That was mine. But.
Grandson, I remember the Capitol Center back in 98, you know. So Jeremy Hunt's here. Jeremy Kraft from Hunt Auctions is here.
Yep.
Where's David, man? Is he bagging out on me? Where is my
dude? He's running around like crazy this week, taking care of auction-related goings-on. But we brought some cool things to show you that are part of the auction. One obviously very relevant.
Oh, that's purple. Oh, that's purple.
Very relevant to
Mark
you.
Mark Andrews. Look at that.
Game worn. And a piece like this comes right through the NFL and literally off the player's back through their offices right to us. Will be sold to benefit one of their various charitable endeavors.
Did Mark autograph it or no?
It is not autographed.
Mark, you can take it. You'll find Mark. Mark's a nice man. He'll sign it.
We've got a pre-auction estimate on this one of $4,000 to $6,000. I think it's up to about $2,200 in the bidding right now. But a great example. You can see the use on it. I mean, he went through the...
It's filthy. I'm not touching that.
Went through the motions in that.
It's got Sooner sweat.
Actually, worn in a game that he had five catches for 44 yards. So it's pretty cool when
there's a story with it.
Yeah. And an ironclad story coming right from the NFL really kind of doesn't get any better than that.
I was going to say, where's Hunt? Is he like in the locker room taking Tom Brady's jersey and pilfering it off to Mexico? I mean, it is amazing that there were thieves doing this, literally, and how valuable these game-worn things have become. And you know, no offense to the NFT and all that.
Right.
I talked to Ravel about that the other day, but like, this goes on the wall. I don't know what the hell you do with these
NFTs. I don't know what you do
with it. And I get the value of a baseball card, and Warren Moon came by yesterday and said hello and signed something, and he was my favorite player.
Sure.
And that,
nice.
I'm wearing blue today to honor him.
Nice.
Since my team's not in. But we do have some purple on the set.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the baseball card thing, that this has become an ongoing up and down kind of thing.
Yeah,
right?
And we're in quite an upswing right now. It really through the pandemic, I guess, reinvigorated people's interest in the market and collecting. And it's been a wild ride. It's been interesting to see what's happened. You know, things that you wouldn't have thought there was much of a market left on have exploded in value. You know, other things have tailed off, but overall, it's just it's remarkable to see what's happened to the interest level in general.
Well, and I guess that'll go on. And Hunt Auctions, you can find them out on the internet, and there's always stuff happening. So I can show this or that or this or that, but like every month there's a ring of this old poster that and an old baseball this and an old football that. And it's... It's astonishing the wide variety over 15 years. Because in the beginning, it was all sort of the same stuff. And now, like when you send me an auction book, it's like, it could be NBA, it could be Newt Rockne, it could be Babe Ruth, it could be Mickey Mantle. Yeah.
All over the place.
Bill Russell, I mean, it could be anything.
And on that note, too, and something we always enjoy when we come to an event like this, or just in general, there's a million people out there that have a ticket stub, a program, an old baseball card, and they don't know what it is, they don't know what it's worth, they don't know what they can do with it.
Be careful. Don't give it away. Don't F it up.
We'd be happy
to bend the corners.
We'd be happy to have them reach out, and they can get info at huntauctions.com.
Don't put it in the spokes of your bike.
There's no obligation for us to take a look, let you know what something is, what it may be worth, and you know, what kind of your options are.
All right. I'm going to break out.
Thanks
Peace
for having
out,
us.
Peace out, dude. You know, I'm glad that my parting gift to you, my lanyap, my 13th donut, you know, the gravy, is to give you a couple of good restaurant recommendations.
Two of the best.
One of you SOBs is going to find me a cheesesteak place that's like really good, because you know, I haven't had anything really good, but my dude, Dick Girardi, wants to take me to the Palestra.
Okay.
I've never been to the Palestra.
Never been.
Yeah, and I need to do it, and I probably should Google it right now while we're talking about it and get him on the show in a couple weeks, because we're both getting older. One of us is going to die. And he's got a cheesesteak place, John's or place. It's a place way up in the north side, up past Temple and up that way up around the bend. And I've Googled it a couple times. I almost just drove random up there out of Center City to do it one day. But I'm off of the tourist cheesesteaks.
Yeah,
I'm out of the market. I don't like, no offense. That roast pork, was it John's roast pork over by the freeway underneath the gas station?
Honestly, you know more about it than I. Like you, since moving to Philly, have yet to find a good cheesesteak.
Have you found pizza?
So. I grew up in New York.
That's right. I knew what he was going to say. You know. I'm from New York. Yeah, I know pizza. All right. Good seeing you, man.
You too. Thanks for having
us, man. All right. Mets are fixed. I read it in the paper. This is your year.
I will not hold my breath. Well,
this is your century.
There you go.
I'm an Oriole fan. Say something nice to me. Give me a hug, something.
Hey, I know the feeling well.
I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Was that a 69 Mets shot at an Oriole guy on the way out the door? Did you just kick me in the nuts on 69? Did you just do that? Ron Swoboda. Back for more after this from Radio Row with our friends in Los Angeles.